Praise the Lord. Isn't he good to us? Isn't he faithful? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Glad that you're here this morning. And the Lord's Day is always a wonderful day to be in church, is it not? Amen. And I do thank God for his goodness and appreciate your worship today. Go in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, if you would. And once again, be praying for the meeting that's coming up, trusting God to help us and to be with us. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to read a few verses today. We're going to talk about the precious priority of the Lord's Day. The precious priority of the Lord's Day, of what we often call the Sabbath, even though we understand it it's different than the Old Testament Sabbath. But I was raised my whole life that Sunday was the Sabbath, and I thought that my whole life, amen, that I thought Sunday was sure enough the Old Testament Jewish Sabbath, and that everybody, I thought every Jew went to church on Sunday, amen, that's just what I thought in my mind. And over the years, I don't know how everybody's been raised when it comes to this. I'm from the part of North Carolina that I'm from, and I know where my wife is from, was very strict on the Sabbath day, understand what I'm saying, the Lord's Day. And to the place, my great-grandfather, he didn't believe in going out to eat on Sunday. He believed if you needed gas, you got it on Saturday. And and my wife's area, her grandfather, still excellent, wonderful church, wonderful minister. And I do respect, I believe when I'm there, I do my best to honor and respect, amen, what they believe on that. You know, matter of fact, I love a good old home-cooked meal, amen. And I enjoy it, don't mind it at all, amen. I'll go home and eat collard greens any day, amen, when they're there. But, you know, I don't know how everybody's been raised when it comes around this. And, you know, my great-grandfather was pretty strict on this. Later on, they were not as strict. The church that I went to on this subject about how, now they always believed the Lord's Day should be honored and respected. It wasn't a day to go cut your grass, amen. Wasn't a day to go play golf. Wasn't a day to go fishing. Wasn't a day just to go home and do just anything. It was a day that you went to church, amen. It's a day that we believed that and honored it. As a matter of fact, from in Tyner, North Carolina, you know, I don't ever recall somebody cutting grass on a Sunday. It just wasn't something you've seen very often. Around here's a little different, amen. You see all sorts of things taking place on Sunday. And nevertheless, we're going to talk about some of those things. And don't fear, I'm not going to give you a giant list of things to do and what not to do on the Sabbath. Don't fear that or the Lord's Day. What I want to do today is to show you there is a moral obligation of everybody in this room to give a day to the Lord throughout the week of worship. Okay, I want to show you the moral obligation of the law. I'm going to do my best to talk about this here today. I've got a lot of quotes. This may seem a little bit more like teaching. And I don't know, if we don't get very far in this morning's lesson, we'll do our best maybe to cover a little bit more of it here this evening. But I do want to show you this morning the difference between the ceremonial aspect of this commandment and the moral aspect of this commandment. There are two different things. There's a ceremonial aspect of it and a moral aspect of it. And I don't want to fall into the category that brings the Ten Commandments down to nine, as if, you know, the fourth commandment, God just meant that just for... No, there's something moral about giving a day to the Lord. And I want to show that to you in Scripture here today. I'll tell you, I'm going to read, don't worry. But where this came from, I've been listening to some podcasts here recently, some different ministers, and there was a question that was asked a preacher. You know, how should we treat the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day? And it even came down to attire. You know, how should we dress at for the Lord's house? How should we go to church? You know, is it one of those things that, you know, it just doesn't matter? You know, just be half-hearted about it. You know, show up and just show. No, I like what the man said. He said this, look, of course we believe in come as you are in the sense that if you don't know or don't have, that's different. But if you're born again, he said, I like what the minister said. He said, we should treat the house of the Lord with reverence. He said, for instance, if you were going to meet the president or a diplomat, he said, I'm pretty sure that somebody would say, look, I'm going to meet somebody important, you know, or, you know, I'm going to go and do my best to respect that office, to respect that person. And I believe we would. I think anybody in common sense would do that. And he said, but when we go for an audience with the king, he said, we need to treat it that way. We're coming to the house of the Lord, and we're coming to worship Him. And I like what he said. It really touched my heart because I remember these things. He said, for us in our household, the Lord's Day started on Saturday night. He said his father would actually come to his room and take him to his closet, and they would lay out their clothes. He said, my dad would walk me down the hallway to the bathroom. He said, in front of the mirror, he would tie my tie. He said, get it the right length. He said, he would lay it out. So the next day, that he said, we would go to bed at a specific time. He said, Mom had plans the next morning how to get us dressed, feed us, get to the house of the Lord. He said, it was something that we prepared for in our hearts and our minds. And I do believe we're missing some of that aspect in these days about the Lord's Day is a special day. Now, the problem is, and I've seen this kind of show up in the independent Pentecostal movement, is that they'll kind of treat the Lord, not everybody, but I've heard this language before, unless they're shouting and running the aisles and folks just all this excitement all the time, they almost treat the Lord's Day as just kind of a yawn and let's get through it and get to lunch. When in reality, there's a certain practical approach to this, that your faithfulness in the house of the Lord is important. We have a reason for being here, and God has a purpose for us being here. Let's look in the Bible, if you would, and I have a small inkling that we're not going to get through this morning. I just feel that in my heart, but we'll see. Let's look there at Exodus 20 and verse 8. It says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now I want you to notice that there today. That is the fourth commandment. And I want to read one more place. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read this to you out of the book of Revelation chapter 1. And this is what it says in Revelation 1 and verse 10. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Notice what he said. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Okay. So I want to talk to you about the precious priority of the Lord's day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help this morning as a pastor. God, I know this is a subject, God, that we often don't discuss. And God, unfortunately, sometimes in this modern day society, we do not put an emphasis on a special time with you on the Lord's Day. God, I don't claim to have all the answers, and there's no way I could put out a list of do's and don'ts. God, but I know there's a moral aspect of this commandment that we need to adhere to, that we need to follow. God, give me wisdom, God. I don't want to put a burden on anybody that should not be. But nevertheless, God, I don't want to treat this lightly either. God, there's something about the Lord's day that we should honor and we should respect. Help me to deliver this and help this congregation. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. The polling data in America shows that Americans are religious people. The large majority even would attend church, as we can see here. Even in the city that we live, there's churches that are everywhere. Men and women have Bibles. Men and women have devotionals. Some have commentaries. Some go to small groups. Many, Lord willing, would go to church somewhere on Sunday. But also we can tell that's not the case for everybody, is it? We look around, and on a typical Sunday, the malls are still full. You can even see up the road here, the movie theaters are going to stay packed. The roads are clogged with cars and bikers and all sorts of things that people find that Sunday, the Lord's Day, is just another day to do what they want to do. And they treat it just like any other day. I was reading some different things about this, read several books and read some sermons and listened to some teachings about this, the Lord's Day and the Sabbath, and if they correlate at all and all these things. But one man said it like this, and I'll share with you, quote, Americans went from viewing Sunday as a holy day of rest, as a day of cultural enlightenment, to one mindless consumption and amusements. They went from thinking of the day in the terms of the broad public purposes of representing God to a day of goofing off or finding the best bargain. And brothers and sisters, is that not the case today? Even though we know that this is the Lord's Day, and I'll share with you the significance of that here in a little bit, I will tell you, as our society has begun to go further and further down the hill of evilness and perversion, and morality is something that is optional, we have seen a decrease in honor when it comes to the Lord's Day. Listen to this. I was reading this in one of the books that I read this week, one of the chapters. The chapter was by Alistair Begg, and I even like this title. He said, "Is the Lord's Day a holy day or a holiday?" And he shared in there, in 1808, there was a man by the name of Hugh Wiley, and he was removed from the membership of the local church, of the local Western Presbyterian Church in Pennsylvania. And what was his offense for being removed from the membership? He was the postmaster, and he opened the post office on Sunday, and thus he was found for violating the fourth commandment. When his boss told Mr. Wiley that he needed to go distribute the mail anyhow, the church stood their ground, and Mr. Wiley had to make a decision: am I going to continue to open the post office, or am I going to keep my church membership? Now, some of us would hear that and say, wow, why would anybody ever be put in such a predicament in their life? But in reality, that was what the church used to view the Lord's Day as, that sacred. 1808, it was something. I read this years ago in an illustration book. Charles Spurgeon, there in the 1800s, went to purchase a house one of these times. And he went to this, actually an apartment, I believe it was, a place to stay while he was in a certain area. And he went there, and he said, and when he went up there, he said he noticed how beautiful the scenery was. He said he looked out the window and he could see over that part of the city and said, "Man, look at the view here." But somebody said, "Look, Mr. Spurgeon, I'm going to be honest with you. The view is not always this nice." And he said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Today's the Lord's Day." He said, "I know you're here to rest and take it easy between the services." He said, "But the reason that it looks that nice out there," he said, "because none of the factories are open." And he said, "Everybody's being," he said, "so you don't see all the smoke and all these things that are going on." He said, "That's why," he said, "tomorrow is one of the ugliest scenes you will ever see." Now, I heard that and I've read that over the years, and I think about that, and I ask myself the question, and you must ask yourself the question, is there something special about the Lord's Day or not? Look, I understand, once again, there's days you're going to have to work on a Sunday. That happens some in life. I understand occasionally, and those that's ever worked in the shipyard, we understand that happens at times. There may come a season and a time they say, "Look, you got to work here for a season here at the shipyard." But I'll tell you right now, if somebody looked to me and said, "Look, you've got to work the next 5 years and miss every Sunday," I would have to morally, in my mind, I'm not putting anything on you, I would have to ask myself some questions. Is this something I'm willing to sacrifice in my life? Is the Lord's Day something that is expendable to me, or is it something that I'm willing to stand my ground on and hold my footing on and say, "Look, I'm going to have a day." Now, once again, occasionally, it's going to happen. Occasionally, Brother Ryan's going to have to go out of town. That happens occasionally. Occasionally, shipyard workers are going to have to work. But brothers and sisters, I would be careful of anything in my life that would exclude me consistently all the time. Hear me. For seasons of my life, and say, "Look, you cannot worship with the saints. Look, if you got to work on Sunday morning, come to church Sunday night. If you end up having to work on a Sunday night, please be here Sunday morning. And if for some reason you cannot make either for a season, find a way to be here Wednesday." I even heard before that Brother Glenn at times had a special day where some were having to work, and so he was able to supplement and teach different men on different days. Do what you can to get the word of the Lord in your life. But with all of that said, it comes down to this: we need to treat the Lord's house with respect as well. Look, I cannot justify everything for everybody. Look, I'm glad the hospitals are open today. Amen. I'm glad there's some policemen out there. I'm glad the ambulances are out there. Thank God for that. But for the average man and woman, we need to keep this in mind. The Lord's Day is something sacred. Okay. Chick-fil-A is even closed on Sunday. Amen. Anybody ever been to that drive-thru on a Sunday and you went to get, yeah, anybody? But hear me, the reason I'm sharing this with you here today, because I cannot justify everything for everybody. You've got to live in your conscience. There is something different between the Old Testament ceremonial Sabbath. I'm going to share that with you in a moment. But I'm telling you that Sundays have become a day that the NFL owns nowadays. Do you know the NFL did not always play football on Sundays? As a matter of fact, when you study when they started doing this in the 50s or late 40s, I forget the exact date of why they began doing this. They did not want to interfere with the college sports on Saturday. So they started having Sunday, and then the TV got involved, and the television companies got involved, and they began to tell the NFL company, look, today there'll be a lot of people home that can watch and think of the commercials and think of the advertisements. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the NFL does not own the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a special time for us where we celebrate the God of heaven that is alive and well and at the right hand of the Father. I find it a joy to be in the house of the Lord today, don't you? So the fourth commandment is very basic when we look at it. The commandment says this when it comes to the Sabbath. I'm going to clarify in a moment the difference between the Lord's Day. But it says this. Now, the commandment is very basic. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, notice that all that does there is sets aside a special day, a particular day, as a holy day unto the Lord. The precise day is even then specified in the Old Testament. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord unto thy God. And then a reason is given because in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all them that is in it, and rested on the seventh day. And then the next verse even tells us on the seventh day God ended his work. I mean, in Genesis it tells us he ended his work after all the things that he made. So understand this: one day in seven was set aside as holy. It was the seventh day. Which this week, when would have been the seventh day? Yesterday, right? Now, did anybody else go to church yesterday? Why are we in church on Sunday and not yesterday? Does anybody know? The resurrection. The Lord's Day. We read in the New Testament. We know that our Savior got up from the grave on the first day of the week. And when you read through the Gospels, and especially when you read through the book of Acts, you see that it's still referenced to Sabbath day, the ceremonial Sabbath day, as being on Saturday. But they refer to Sunday, the first day of the week for us, as the Lord's Day. So we come here today, we realize there was that shift in the New Testament, but the question would come up, why is there such a controversy? I'm going to give you the differing views of why there's such a controversy about why we have church either on Saturday and on Sunday, and if Sunday is the New Testament Sabbath, and should we still honor the ceremonial law of the Old Testament? Now, there's many differing views, and there's a wide range of these. At one end of the spectrum, you have the Seventh-day Adventists. You ever heard of them before? When do they go to church? They go to church on Saturdays. And they're not the only movement that does that. There's some other primitive Baptist movements that do that as well. But in their view, this command sets up an eternal moral principle that imposes a strict Saturday Sabbath. And we often refer to them in theology as Seventh-day Sabbatarians. They believe Saturday is the day that you should go to church. On the other end of the spectrum. Now get that. On one end of the spectrum, then we had the Seventh-day Adventists. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Christians who believe that not only the fourth commandment, but the entire Decalogue, the other nine commandments, is irrelevant to Christians today. And it doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter if there's no moral binding aspects of the law. It was just for the Old Testament. These are often what we refer to as antinomianists. They believe that the law does not apply to us today. So just love Jesus and the rest don't matter. Now, we're not there, are we? And we're not in church on Saturdays, are we? So why are we in church on Sundays? And where do we fall on the spectrum? Because, once again, there's all these extremes that come in the middle of this. But there's still this wide variety of views. I know we're not Seventh-day Adventists, obviously. And we're not antinomians, obviously. But what are we? The typical view of this is spelled out by most of your Protestant creeds in the 17th century. And I'm going to read to you from the Baptist Confession of 1689. And please do listen. God hath particularly appointed one day in seven for his Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath, the observation of the last day of the week being abolished. So hear me, as many of those who would hold to this view still see that there's certain things that even though today is Sunday, they say, look, that it switched during the resurrection. This is the Sabbath of the Old Testament. You still shouldn't kindle a fire. You still shouldn't travel too far. If you want to heat your food up, do it on Saturday or eat cold cut sandwiches. They take the ceremonial aspect and still want to apply it today. Now look, I know some people like that. They ain't going to do anything, you know, on Sunday because they feel, you know, kindling fires. I've even heard them try to use, you know, that's why we don't cook on Sundays. And some, they don't travel but so far on Sundays. And if there's some, if you were out of gas on the side of the road and they came across you, guess what? You're going to be out of gas. I've met some people that are so, and I don't mean to just ramble on about some of these experiences, but man, I've had some. I've had some, especially around this. I've heard them say things like this, you know, that they'll say things like this, that if you run out of gas, then you just walk home, do things like that. If you ain't got no food and you didn't prepare, fast. I've heard them say all sorts of things. And then I go a little further and I would ask them, well, don't you use electricity? And they'll say, yes. I said, don't you know it takes somebody working somewhere to keep all this stuff going? Do you understand that? There's somebody working somewhere. What about the hospitals? I mean, there's all sorts of questions you could ask. I've had people judge me before, admit me. I mean, it's saying, look, that I disrespected the Sabbath because, you know, I stopped to get gas or stopped to get something to eat. And I've even had them before. I've heard them make accusations against other people. Let me give you this example or this illustration. It's pretty funny. It's a true story. I knew somebody one time that went fishing on Saturday. They went home and didn't disconnect their boat on Sunday, you know, Saturday. They just left it hooked up to their truck. And word got around town that they went fishing on Sunday because somebody drove past their house and seen the boat hooked up to the truck. So what I'm saying is you got those type people. But just because you have those type people, should we say to ourselves that the Lord's Day is insignificant? And that we should treat it lightly. Now, once again, you could go to one extreme or to the other. But I like, and I don't agree with John Calvin on a lot of things, but I agree with him on this. Now, sometimes we don't believe in Calvinism, do we? Do we? I don't think we do. I hope not. Amen. But you know, John Calvin didn't have everything wrong. We sometimes have demonized that man so much. But I've got about 20 books he wrote in there, and there's some things I agree with him on. And the Sabbath day is one of them. Listen to what John Calvin said about this. He said, with the seventh day of rest, the Lord wished to give the people of Israel an image of spiritual rest. As to the reason, there is no doubt that it ceased in Christ because he is the truth by the presence of which all images vanish. Hence, superstitious observance of days must remain far from Christians. As a truth, therefore, was given to the Jews under a figure, so to us, on the contrary, truth is shown without shadows and order. First of all, that we meditate all our life on the perpetual Sabbath from our works, so that the Lord may operate in us by his Spirit. What he was saying is this, is that through Jesus Christ, we have a perpetual Sabbath in Christ. I can rest with it, rest in him more than just Saturday, but on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that Christ fulfilled the ceremonial aspect of the Sabbath laws in the Old Testament. So Calvin was saying this, that the weekly Sabbath observance was ceremonial, and the Sabbath day pictures or reality or prefigured Christ were fulfilled in him. Let me just give you an example. I go on a mission trip, okay? And I have a picture of my family in my pocket. And I'm on the mission trip, and I'm sitting there, and I pull this picture out and say, man, I miss my family. And the next day, I do it again. And again and again. They are a picture of my family. Amen. But I come back home and my family goes to pick me up and they're at the airport. Would I still pull the picture out and say, man, I miss my family? I'm going to embrace them. And how disrespectful would it be to them if I'm holding that picture and saying, I miss my family. I miss them so much. And my wife and my kids are right there. I have a picture, but now is the fulfillment, they're there in front of me. What John Calvin was saying is, in the Old Testament Sabbath, the ceremonial Sabbath, we see that we are to rest and we are to take a day to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, looking forward to the fulfillment of the law. Now that Christ is here, enjoy Him more than just on Saturday. Enjoy Him every day of your life. We should enjoy the presence of God every day. Now, I know I've been reading about this all week, and I hope I don't sound too crazy to you. But I want to show you, number one, that there is a ceremonial aspect of the law. The Sabbath was put in perspective in the Decalogue in Exodus chapter 20. But understand, there's a few principles I want to give to you about the Sabbath day, why it was important to the Jews, what parts are done away with, and what we should still adhere to today, okay? Hope you're paying attention. This is important. This is going to affect the Lord's Day, the rest of your life, and your application of it. All right, you need to understand the Lord's Day. Now, once again, when it comes to this moral obligation of the law, it comes to this, at this end, I want to show you that there is this eternally binding moral lesson in the law that we need to understand. There's number one, the Old Testament Sabbath did this, number one, it looked back at creation. You remember what it says there? On the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested. Now, can we do this on Sundays? Can we come to church and reflect on the goodness of God's creation? Can we do that? We're acknowledging He is a creator. So for the first inkling of the Sabbath appears in Genesis 2, it tells us, and we read the description, that on the seventh day of the week of creation, that God rested and He blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it. Principle number two, the Sabbath looked forward to redemption. Now, I never noticed this before, but in Hebrews 4:4, this is what He says, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works." Hebrews 4:5, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into My rest." Hebrews chapter 4 tells us about the children of Israel, and it talks about them in their wilderness journeying, and it talks about them entering into Canaan as a type of rest. And so here what it's saying is that Christ is our ultimate rest, and we should enter into them. So the children of Israel, when they celebrated the Sabbath, they look back at creation, then they're looking forward to redemption to know that something's coming that's going to give us ultimate rest. Has that come? Let me ask you this. Are you resting in Him? I don't know about you. One of the reasons I come to the Lord's Day on Sunday, it's not because I've got all these commandments of do's and don'ts. I come here because I come to rest in the Lord. See, there's a lie that many people believe. Well, it's a day of rest. I ought to just sleep. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible's saying. There's two things about the Lord's Day you need to understand. Rest and worship. Rest and worship. The Sabbath was about rest and worship. Rest from your normal routine of life. Has anybody got a normal routine of life? Okay. As a matter of fact, in America, you're blessed that you don't have to go out in the field and harvest every Saturday. Ain't you blessed? You even get a Saturday to take it easy. Want to, call it your Sabbath and go to sleep. But on the Lord's Day, like one preacher said, he said, some of you ain't going to be, you know, I'm trying to think of the exact wording, but it was referring to the reference of this. You know, it says, you know, about missing the rapture of the church. It says you don't stand a chance because you can't even get up on Sunday morning. The bed sheets keep you from getting up every Sunday morning. If you can't overcome the bed sheets, what makes you think you can overcome anything else? The Lord's Day is a place of rest, not rest just to kick your feet up. Look, how many enjoys a Sunday nap? I don't know what it is about a Sunday nap. The bed's just softer. My kids sleep wonderful. They won't take a nap any other day unless you make them. On Sunday, they just don't even fight it too much, you know. And Braxton will try. But man, they sleep. It's something about that day. What is that? Number one, though, when we talk about rest, we're talking about spiritual rest. I don't know about you. I come to church on Sundays, and I need rest in my spirit. That don't sound too ceremonial, does it? We're not telling you not to kindle a fire. We're not telling you that you can't hook up the horse and buggy and go up the road. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you can't go through a drive-through. Now, that's up to you. If you don't want to go through a drive-through, it's something you're conscious about, then you don't have to go through. But I'll tell you this, this isn't a day just to do recreational activities. Okay? I was reading this week by one writer. He has a doctorate in theology. He said, I've made a point that on the Lord's Day, I'm not going to do a bunch of schoolwork. He says, some people just want to use Sunday as a catch-up from schoolwork, and they play all day Saturday. Uh-oh. Treat it as the Lord's Day. So notice this, we are to rest in the Lord, and that's the second principle. So they look back to creation, they look forward to redemption. Principle number three is this, the Sabbath has a reference to God's rest. Again, notice what God did. He rested on the seventh day there after He created everything. You think God rested because He was tired? You think God created the world and said, oh, I've got a headache. Oh, I don't know what to do. My arms are so tired from creating. The reason He rested was as an example that the work was finished. It's a finished work. Look at my creation. Enjoy. He invited us by His grace to enjoy the finished work that He had made for Adam and Eve. When it comes to the New Testament, God has finished a work in Christ Jesus, and Sunday is a wonderful time to come to church and focus on the rest that God has created. And notice, it wasn't about man's work on the Sabbath. It was about God's work and what He did. It's about what He did. Number four. The principle is this, the Sabbath is full of this moral significance that we can understand. Now, again, I keep saying this, but I want you to understand the difference. It tells us in Colossians that we are not to just be legalistic and given into these feasts and festivals, and even says Sabbaths. But there's something about the 10th to 4th commandment that has a moral aspect to it. I've already explained to you about the Lord's Day and why we celebrate on the Lord's Day now. But there's something you need to understand. Number one, about the moral principle of a 6-to-1 work-to-rest ratio. You work better when you're rested, right? When you're rested, you can't just sit there and work yourself. Even in the fourth commandment, God said, let your servants rest. And even let the cows have a day off. Brothers and sisters, hear me. You can take a day and give it to the Lord. You can do it. Is He not worthy? Now, my wife was raised pretty strict here, and once again, I'm not against a strict raising about what you got to be careful, because you can take the Lord's Day and make it another work day. She asked me one time, she said, can we wash clothes on Sunday? I said, I hadn't thought about it very much. I said, I guess you're just pushing a button. The washing machine's doing most of the work. But you know what? If you wanted to give the washing machine a day off, you could. It wouldn't hurt it. Men, look. I'm not just being, look, if your grass is 10 inches tall, you're going out of town tomorrow, and yesterday you were bound up, you couldn't do everything, you had to cut your grass, would it be the end of the world? No. I'm not saying it would. I might care how your neighbor might view you. But understand this. Set your priorities in order that you can be in the Lord's house and that you can give this day to the Lord. Ladies, don't go to the mall and go shopping all on the Lord's day. Don't do that. And men, don't you go to the mall and go shopping. You ain't got to go to Bass Pro Shop and look at everything today. Now, I'm trying to have common sense, folks. Bear with me. Now, if you're on vacation somewhere and out of town, look, what I'm saying is, I understand maybe if you say, look, I don't see nothing wrong, I'm on vacation, I might go do something. Okay, that's up to you. I'm not saying that's the exception. It's not the rule in your life. Understand that. But if you have the conviction when you're out of town and you still want to give the Lord's Day and find a church, good. That ain't going to hurt anything either, would it? These are things that you've got to pray about. And because there is no binding day. You know, if there's somebody, I've been in other countries and they celebrate other days. Is that a sin? No, it's not. There is no specific day. Why do I come to church on the Lord's Day? It's because that's the morning Jesus rose from the dead. And I see that principle in the New Testament. But if somebody really had a church service on Monday and they say, look, I'm going to celebrate and worship God on Monday, would it be a sin or the end of the world? I'd say no. I'd have disagreements with them. But this is the thing. Give a day to the Lord. Give a day to Him. And here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, what day is that? Sunday. That's what we do. That's what we celebrate. Amen. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. Another thing I would say about this, and I'll just give you some points to ponder, and I'm not going to revisit this again tonight because there's just so much to say about this, and I don't want to wear you out, but Just as the deliverance from Egypt lay at the heart of the Mosaic Sabbath, deliverance from Egypt and the law, the Decalogue, all of that was in reference looking back. They look at that. So the redemption accomplished by Christ is remembered on the Lord's Day. I like what Alistair Begg said about this in his book. I have been helped by thinking of the Lord's Supper as a memorial to His death and the Lord's Day as a memorial to His resurrection. That's something He does personally. He said, I look at communion, I remember the Lord's death. He said, but every Sunday, He said, when I get up on the Lord's Day, I remember His resurrection and that He's alive. And He says, I sing like He's alive, and I pray like He's alive, and I give like He's alive. He said, God's alive every day, but I want to take that day and give to the King of Kings. Secondly, as we've already said, there's an obvious change in the New Testament from the Sabbath observance and celebrating the Lord's Day. As a matter of fact, I like what the Apostle Paul did. He would actually take the Sabbath day and go to the synagogues and preach to the Jews and take the Lord's Day and edify the saints. I love it. That's what he would do. Thirdly, we are not to embrace any of the ceremonial aspects of the Sabbath of the Old Testament. I can't say that enough. For somebody to come in here, for somebody to look at me and say, look, I've got this long list of do's and don'ts, and if you do this, you're going to hell and all this stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about. That's ceremonial, but there is a moral obligation, which is this. You need to be in church, you need to rest, and you need to worship. Everybody with me? Fourthly, there are those who are legalistic about the Lord's Day, much like the Pharisees. You remember the Pharisees and how Jesus would he would heal a woman on the Sabbath. And they would say, oh, why did you do that? Why didn't you heal her yesterday? You can heal her tomorrow. Why would you heal her on the Sabbath? We see that much throughout Scripture. But I'll read to you from the Scriptures at this. It says in Matthew 12, and at this time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples are hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him? He entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, where was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. So when it comes to the moral application of the Lord's Day, there's times you've got to do things out of necessity. Okay, everybody with me? The disciples are walking through the field. They grab some corn and they begin to eat the corn. There's different ways they suggest how they did that. The Pharisees looked at them and said, how did you let them eat and do that? They harvested on the Sabbath. Like they're in there just harvesting corn all day, you know? First thing we need to understand is that there's times, there's works of necessity that have to take place on the Lord's Day. There's times, works of necessity. Are there some things necessary? If the ox is stuck in the ditch, you understand what I'm saying? If you got a flat tire, okay, do you have to wait till the next day to change the tire? Okay, we understand there's things of necessity. If you have to work that day and you just know you have to and your job depends on it, is it okay? I mean, you understand, you got to do it. Aren't you glad the hospitals are open? Aren't you glad the cops are out there? There's works of necessity. Number two, there's works of piety. What is that? Jesus would go on to say this, but I say unto you, he says in verse 5 of 12, Matthew 12, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Works of piety. You may look at me and say, Brother Derek, well, you're not resting today, are you? And I am not, I assure you. I promise you. You think I'm up here rambling on about the Sabbath? How do you think I got all this information, even though it probably doesn't sound the most clear I've ever preached? I've read and read, and I'm Sabbathed out. I can tell you all about the ceremony. I can show you in Deuteronomy. Who wants to go there? Don't worry, I'm not. How do I come to this conclusion to stand up here and speak to you this morning? It's works of piety. I'm doing what God's called me to do. There's an exception for doing ministry for the Lord. Okay? If you're a Sunday school teacher, look, you're putting some effort forward this morning. Song leader, as a pastor, we understand that. Lastly, Jesus will say in Matthew 12 and 7, but if ye have known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's saying this, works of necessity, works of piety, but there's also works of mercy. Works of mercy. There's times you got to help somebody on the day of the Lord, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm about to come to my conclusion. I just want to share this with you. But, you know, I think about this, you know, I'll share this with you. As a pastor, once again, on the Lord's Day, I find myself exerting myself. I often joke around saying I'm pulling a double today. I'll preach twice today. I have a routine of how I study and prepare for this day. It doesn't start today. It didn't start this morning. I've been studying about the Sabbath since probably Thursday morning. Been studying about the Sabbath. Been reading and trying to put together information. Look, today's not a day of rest really for me, is it? But I do have days that I consider my day off where I try to, you know, and I know this isn't really a day off for everybody from that sense. That's kind of your Saturday. But my Saturdays are different than your Saturdays, I assure you. I work on Sunday on Saturdays. But I usually take maybe like a Tuesday or sometimes a Monday or a Thursday. I don't have a set day. That I spend time with my family. How many believes that's important in your life and my life? On those days, we can call it family day, and I enjoy that time together. I try to make my mind that day, of course, I'm available here at the church. I'll do things if I need to. But I try to take the kids somewhere, go out to eat, we'll do something, fellowship, hang around the house, do something like that. Once again, if I get a phone call, it's an emergency, I go take care of that. But how would it be if I was having a family day, and I said something like this, quick, let's get this over with so I can rest and be to myself. How would it sound if I said, let me get over in my own self, I'd said something like this, let me get to my commitment as quickly as possible so I can have the rest of the time to myself. Wouldn't be much of a family day, would it? My heart wouldn't be in it. But can I tell you, some people treat the Lord's day like that? Let me get through the Sunday morning worship so I can get out of here and eat and just do what I want the rest of the day. Nothing wrong with wanting to go eat, folks. But I hope your heart and mind is this, that the Lord's day is the Lord's day. Let's give this day to Him. Let's give it to Him. Hope you're not thinking, I can't wait, Brother Derek, be quiet about the Sabbath so I can get home and sit on the couch and watch something on TV. I hope that ain't the case, and I don't foresee that in nobody's heart. And if that really applied to you, I'm sorry, and I'll be done in a second. My conclusion is this. Consider the difference there will be when the people of God decide to do something so simple, something so sensible and biblical as making their participation in the regular worship services of the church a priority in their life. Imagine the impact of church families framing the Lord's Day with a morning and an evening worship service instead of trying to get through the day and find a way to use it for recreational pastimes. Once the principle is in place, hear me, once you've got the principle in place that I need to at least give a day to the Lord for rest and worship, you with me? Once the principle is in place, the exceptions can be addressed by asking the right questions. What are the right questions? Is this activity that I'm participating all about selfish indulgence? Am I doing as I please without reference to God on this day? Will participation today in this event be a help or a hindrance to delighting in the Sabbath? Am I helping others to take the Lord's day seriously by engaging in this activity? What kind of example am I showing forth to my children by the way that I treat the Lord's day? Or am I doing some things out of necessity because I have to, which is understandable? Or are you doing some things just because you don't take the Lord's day seriously? Look, there's a fine difference between working to make ends meet on the Lord's day and working just because you want a little bit of extra money to go play. It's a fine difference. Everybody understand the difference? We've got to treat the Lord's day with honor and with respect. Last question I would ask today. Is God worthy of your exclusive devotion for one day? Is He worthy? All right, I hope He is. Stand to your feet if you would.